Okay, I think we're actually recording. Okay. There is a PowerPoint that I put last week that we didn't get to, and I put this week also under the week of that talks about looping, and so that's the PowerPoint that I'm looking at. And I'm not going back to show you because the computer's been acting up, and so going back, I'm afraid I won't get forward again.
Presentation on structure, focus on loops.
That would sound right. Okay. And if it looks like this, it's definitely right. Okay, so this is looping. And then we're going to play with it. Okay. There are three structures that are necessary to be able to call something a programming language. HTML is not a programming language because it can't do these three things. Okay? You have to be able to do these three things. You've got to be able to process in sequence. So process one, then do the next thing, then do the next thing. You have to be able to ask a question and respond by doing one thing if it's yes and one thing if it's no. And you have to be able to loop. You have to be able to go through something and do it over and over and over again. And if you have those structures, then you can call yourself a programming language. It may not be a very good one, but you can call yourself a programming language. Okay? So, the way a loop works is I can have, when I show it in a flowchart, I ask a condition, and that condition tells me when I want to quit. That's what the condition's for, is to tell me when I want to quit. Okay, so this is a condition. Oh, good. I don't think that worked too well. Well, let's see. If I do a, I actually don't see where to do that, so I'll just try to move it up. Actually, I think I'll probably try to ignore it. There it is, and now I need to get the N and move that down to there, and I think I've got it. Okay. So, I ask a question and I determine whether or not I want to process. Now, there are three things that I need to have in a loop. And it is also not showing my smart board, which must have gotten killed when I was talking. They shouldn't give me Tuesday off. Bad move. Okay, there. Now let's see if I can take a picture of that. That looks good. And the picture came over. Ooh, it's working. Okay, there's three things that I need to have. I need to have a condition, and it's not going to let me write there, so I'll write on the other place. I need to have, I don't know why, nothing has been working today. I need to be able to have a condition that tells me about continuing, that decides about continuing. That condition is based on a particular field. So, for example, I might want to do something five times, and I set up a count, and I say do until count is greater than five. Okay? I might have an amount, and I want to say do it until amount is greater than 1,000. So I'm usually testing on a field. So prior to going into the loop, I set the condition I set up any condition information that I need prior to going in. And then inside, I need to change something affecting the condition. And you will see that in the examples. So, for example, if my condition is do it until count is greater than 5, then prior to coming in, I would say set count equal to 1, let's say. So I'm going to make count start out at 1. And then inside, I would say take count, add 1 to it, and assign it back to count. So change count. So that's what I'm basically doing. I would say, okay, before I start doing the loop, I'm going to set count equal to 1. I'm going to stop doing the loop when count is greater than 5. Now, if I don't change count, it will never become greater than 5 because I set it to 1. So I got to do something that changes count. And so I can say, take count, add 1 to it, and put it back into count. And that word for that is assign. Assign it back to count. So that changes count. So if every time I go inside the loop, I add 1 to count, pretty soon it's going to be greater than 5, and that gets me out. Now, the problem with loops is you have to be careful. The first time when I was early on in my programming career, I wrote a piece of code and I forgot to do that change inside. And I was setting something to the printer. Okay? So I ended up printing a stack of paper this big, when in fact I only wanted a few pieces of paper, and somebody, the printer at that point was in a separate room, somebody finally came in and said, did you really want this stack of paper? Well, I hadn't changed, so the loop had never ended, and inside the loop I was printing a page. And since the loop never ended, I printed a lot of pages. So I learned that one should check and make sure that they have changed something inside the loop, especially if you're sending things to be printed. Okay. So, there are two things here. You can check and then process, or you can process and then check. Okay, so you've got two possibilities. Okay, if you check before you process, then there's the possibility that you will never do this. Because I'm checking, and let's say I set count to 5 and I'm checking to see, or set count to 10 and I'm checking to see if it's greater than 5. I set it to 10. Is it greater than 5? Yes. So I can get out. Okay? I only want to do it when it's not greater than 5. I would get out. So it's possible to exit without ever having done any processing. In this example, I process and then check to see if I want to do it again. So I will always do it once. Because I'm processing prior to checking. So I may never go back. I may drop out. I may never go back. But I will always process at least once. Okay. Here's an example. I am reading a record from a file. Okay. I've got a file. Think of it as an Access database. I've got 10 records in my file. And I said, okay, read a record. This is an initializing read, which means it will read the first record. And I'm reading the first record because, remember, I said I need to change something. Well, if I'm reading and I need to set something, if I'm going to process this as long as it's not in the file, setting means I read the first record. I get the first record out there. And then I say, okay, was that successful? If I read the first record and I found out there wasn't anything there, I will stop. I will never do anything. Because I said, do it while, keep doing the loop while it's not in the file. If I read a record and there's nothing there, again, think of access. You didn't make any records. So I try to read a record. There isn't anything there. It tells me it's hit end of file. And I will just drop out. Okay? As long as it's not end of file, I process and then I read. That's making a change. Because if there are 100 records on the file, every time I read, I move through. After I've done that read 100 times, I'm done with records. And so I'll hit end of file. So this initializing read sets things up to get going. The condition checks, and the read changes things because it reads the next record, and I keep reading the next record. If I didn't read the next record, it would keep that first record, and let's say I was printing, it would print that first record a gazillion times because nothing ever changed. But when I read closer to end of file. And if there's 100 records, I will eventually hit end of file after I've handled 100 records, and I will stop. Okay? So those are the things that happen inside there. Okay, this one I start a counter. So I start the counter out at the start point. Let's say it's 1. I say do it while the counter is less than the stop point. So I have a start point of 1 and I have a stop point of, let's say, 5. And I keep changing because I increment the counter. So if I started that out at 1, and it still doesn't want me to write, if I started that out at 1, I said do it while the count is less than 5, I'm going to process. Then it says increment the counter, so the count is now 2. Is it still less than 5? Yes. I process. It's now 3. Is 3 less than 5? Yeah. I still process. It's now 4. Is 4 less than 5? Yep. I process. It's now 5. Is 5 less than 5? No, I drop out. So that's a loop and how a loop works. Okay, and here I did the same thing, only I started out and I processed. So I started it out at 1. I processed. Then I made it 2. As long as it's not equal to the stop point, I went back and processed, and I kept doing that over and over and over again. Okay? What I want to do today, questions, I should say that first. Okay. What I want to do today is have you work on this. So, we are going to go to another PowerPoint, which is the logic assignment, and that's another PowerPoint. Okay. So this one is a homework assignment, but we're going to do it in class. If we don't get it done in class, then finishing it is your homework. Okay, and you have to pass in the whole thing. So here is my list of records. This is my file. And a file, again, is like a table on a database. So that's my file. Elm is the last record on the file. When I have processed Elm and try to read again, it hits end of file. So I will be at end of file. So I have here 1, 2, 3, 6, 9. Looks like there's 11 records if I count them that I'm going to process. Okay. The first one is basically this. And what I want you to do is problem one. I want you to produce a report using the logic shown. The report should contain item number. So here's item number. Item name, price, cost, and profit. Profit is the difference between price and cost. Okay? So, what you're going to do, and my suggestion would be to do this either in an Excel spreadsheet that gives you little cells, or to make a table in Word and do it in there because it makes it easier to write. So I would either set up a table in Word or I'd bring up a spreadsheet to put those in. I think that was probably a spreadsheet that I had them on. So it's easy to give me the answers that way. So let's look at this one. I'm going to say read a record. So I read that first record, 111 Oak. That's the record that I read. I ask the question, is it not end of file? It is not end of file. Okay? So I come in here and I say, calculate the profit. What's the profit on Oak?
$20.89.
Yeah, $20.89. The difference between cost and price. Okay, so it's $20.89. So I am going to then say, get the line ready for the report, and then write the line. So what I'm going to see is 1111 Oak, $95.89, $75, and $20.89. After I write it out, I read another record. So what record have I read?
Red Maple.
Red Maple. What's the profit on Red Maple?
$17.99.
So I'm going to write out 1212, Red Maple, price $117.99, cost $100, profit $17.99. And then I'm going to move on to the third one, and I'm going to do the same thing for every one of these. Okay? So this one's kind of a pain, and you're writing a lot, but after this, it gets a little bit better. So I'm going to write that for 11 records. I'm going to write out that information. What we're doing here is we're playing computer. So we're doing what the computer would do. And then we start to appreciate the computer because it can do it a lot faster and a lot more accurately and all the rest of that good stuff. So we're playing computer there. Okay, I'm going to move on and look at a couple of them. And then I'm going to give you some time to work on it and then I'll look at some more. The next slide. It says, is there a difference in the output using the logic in problem one and using the logic shown here? And everybody should get this right because I'm going to end up giving you the answer if you don't get it right now. So what's the answer to that? This one says, if it's not end of file, go do the module called process. Go do the subroutine called process. When you write it with the bar there on the box and the name here, it says go do this. And this says calculate, set up the line, write it, read another record, go back because it's in process. And then it goes and it says it's not end of file, it goes over and processes again. Okay, so is this going to be the same as what number one did?
Yes.
Yes, because it's basically just removing the subroutine. Removing, in number one, I put all of the stuff I wanted to do across like here. Number two, I said, that's messy. I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to take those four boxes and I'm going to put those four things in a subroutine so that I say, go do process, and it does the four boxes. When you're done, come back, follow the arrow, it's not in the file, go do process again. So that one is exactly the same. Number five. Okay. Again, what I'm doing is, here's the loop. As long as it's not in the file, I process. So that's my loop. Okay? So, I read the first record, which is oak. What happens when I get to process? Is on hand greater than 25? No. So what does it do? It takes the no branch, right? Drops out, and what does it do now? Reads another record. So I'm now on red maple. Okay, I end my process, I come back, I follow the arrow, it says not in the file, go and process again. Is red maple got an on hand that's greater than 25? Yes. So red maple is going to write up the line, which says, if you look at the problem, it says, give me the item number, item name, on hand, and on order. So I'm going to see 1212, red maple. On hand is 26, on order is 22. I don't care when you're doing these that you write out the whole name. Feel free to call Red Maple RM or something like that. Okay, I'm not interested in your ability to write the name of the tree. Just put an R or something on that order. It's the number that's the important one there that I can tell. Okay? Then the next one is the same kind of thing. I'm saying, read a record, as long as it's not in the file, process. And I come over here and I choose by asking if on hand is greater than 25, I do that. If on order is greater than 25, and so forth. So you're following through and following the logic here. And when you get down to the end, I've done some with pseudocode. Okay? Where I'm having you follow the pseudocode. So on this one it's saying, if on hand is greater than 25 and price is greater than 75. So I look for oak, is on hand greater than 25? No. So I don't care about price, right? Because I said and, that means they both have to be true. Red maple, on hand is greater than 25. Is price greater than 75? Yes. So I'm going to see red maple. Okay? Okay. You're on your own. Feel free to talk it over with the person next to you. That's why we're doing it in class. Feel free to ask Mark and I questions or we'll get bored. And I hate being bored. So I want you to do this. You've got to hand it in. I would write the answers either in an